Jill Reuter and I am now looking forward to answering your questions.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find your question has been already answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. So once again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. Our first question comes from Felicitas Bismarck from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much. I have a couple of questions on your guidance, please, and I would start with your revenue guidance. So if I take your customer segment and take there the guidance you had, I would end up at 3.1 billion at midpoint. Is that the way to think about it, your revenue guidance, or do we still need to deduct the divestments and take the currency effect at spot rate into account here? The second question is these investments of up to 20 billion, I think you said, the costs for digitalization and new products. Why would you consider these extraordinary and not just normal business behavior to maintain your competitive advantage in this environment? And the third question I have is, apart from these additional investments that you're planning, do you see other key headwinds for your margin or some key tailwinds that you can tell us? Thanks.
Then I will start with the margin, not with the margin, with revenue. We had a revenue of 2.96 billion last year and have to deduct something more than 50 million for the sale of HLS and the tools and dies business. And then what Till mentioned, we expect a growth up to 5% for the full group in for the current year, and then we are clearly above 3 billion revenue we expect for current year.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Peter. The second point was related to the question about our 20 million more investment into R&D. And the investment is very much related to all this Internet of Things in 4.0 initiative, which we have started already 2 or 3 years ago. But I think now, since we know this is a topic for the next 5 to 7 years, this will increase our R&D footprint for the next year. So it's not one time. It's more like R&D will be the most important factor for us. And the 20 million, you have to assume that we are going to spend more R&D also in the future. So it's not one time impact.
Okay.
I think it's very important to just to, and I had the question in the, in this press conference. If you look at our development, in 2009, we had in R&D 200 people. 100 were mechatronics, hardware, and 100 were software. 2009-10. Today, 2016, we have 100 mechatronic hardware, we have 400 software, and we have 20 to 50 IT guys, which in the end is reflected then in the margin. In 2020 or 2018, maybe earlier, we will have 100 mechatronic, we will have 400 software, and 400 IT/software. It shows that we are clearly, we are moving the company from automotive to automation to more towards software, and this has to be also reflected in the margin in the future. But clearly, it takes time to build up this profile. And again, it's also important, automotive is our key customer, so we want to be number one in automotive, but the future will be, or the higher growth will come from GI, and also having more software business, which also in the future will be reflected in the EBIT margin. Third question was on headwinds. So clearly in our business, our task is to look at headwinds and also winds which are supporting you. So I think we have both supporting winds, tailwinds, and headwinds. And I think our job is to balance between these different winds, which we have done in the last year in really reaching our guidance. I think we have kept our promises and are clearly in line with the guidance, and that's also for 2016. So clearly there will be headwinds. So competition from Japan is getting increasingly You have seen that Japan has announced they want to double the impact on robotics, so they are going to invest more heavily in robotics. You might have read that Google is going to divest Boston Dynamics, which is the public, so how to interpret this. So we have a few on this, but something we have to do internally. So I think lots of things are changing, and also show that we are connecting the shop floor with IT world, though we are related on the one hand to the IT and software world, but we also have to work on the low-cost side, for example, in China. And I think we have we are in the middle of a big development, which is it's 4.0 driven, it's software IT driven, and so I think we have a balanced mix, and I see it's much more on the positive side, so we have more tailwind than headwind, but clearly that's our job to manage.
Okay, thank you very much.
Welcome.
Our next question comes from Sven Weier from UBS. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Yeah, thank you. Also a couple of questions from my side, please. The first one on the kind of EBIT bridge for 16 again. I think in the annual report you've mentioned that the pure R&D P&L expense is going to rise by 15 million, and I think you said 20 million. So what other cost items are there that we should be keeping in mind? Also, when you've been talking about your ERP system and those kind of IT investments, how much is the incremental impact here? What are you assuming in terms of pricing pressure from VW? And what kind of contribution margin do you see for the additional revenues? And then talking about the additional revenues, quite obviously you had a book-to-bill of below one last year, so I take it from your growth guidance that it has to be above one to make that guidance. So could you also here give us some additional color how you see the timing of the order intake? Is that something that we should be also seeing more for the second half in terms of the momentum there, or how has your year started? And then the last question, just a housekeeping one on your associate results, which is part of your EBIT guidance, was a negative 3.5 million last year. Should that also get more negative in 16 because of your investments, or what should we model there? Thank you.
Okay, then I will start with the EBIT bridge. Yeah, starting with an EBIT of 194 million, which is compared to the sales revenue, a 6.6% EBIT margin. We have to deduct clearly the 13 million book gain, or it's not only a book gain, it's a real gain which we cashed in for the sale of the two companies. And then we are at something like 6.1% EBIT margin, and now we guided something above 5.5%, and the difference comes from several factors. There are positive ones, Till mentioned them already, the scale effects next year, and that there is a customer demand which is quite good, especially in the US and so on, and we expect if we go through the divisions, a little decrease in robotics overall because of higher spend for GI, R&D, China. We see a Volkswagen impact too, and that leads us to the 10% guidance, or to more than 10% as a guidance for robotics. Then if there comes Swiss systems, we had a 6.9 this year, and say 6 plus for the current year. Here, you mentioned already some IT investments, and Industry 4.0 comes into the picture. We will spend on our ERP and the PLM system something like 19 million this year. This is 6 million more than last year. So that we have to take into account. But I mentioned already earlier, we expect a really huge efficiency increase in 2018, especially from the PLM system, which could contribute to 1% plus in the EBIT margin. So a real good investment we are doing and increasing this year compared to last year. And Swisslog, we said an EBIT margin of around 3% for this year. And if you add that all up, we are above 5%, what we guided, 5.5, sorry, what we guided for the current year. And central point is our investment into Industry 4.0 and in digitalization. This is a must for us to take this chance, invest into such opportunities and to more increase the margin in future years. This is nothing extraordinary, but worth to mention here. Then I do the third question too immediately. Your associate result, that is what we mainly, it is our milestone payments for our startups, and that will be in the same order of magnitude this year. Even a little start of return we will see this year, so that there is not only cost in the P&L reducing the EBIT, but we also have a positive contribution there. The more startups we invest into, the more we here first have to pre-finance. That's like everywhere, that we have to pre-finance things first, they are developed, and then if they go to market, we get the return.
On the book-to-bill, clearly we are planning to have a book-to-bill above one for 2016, and what we see for the year. We had a good start in 2016, which is but it did not have any extras, which we sometimes had in the past, so no big aerospace, but a good start on GI and a good start for the overall business. We believe that the second half of the year will be stronger. We see lots of big contracts in logistics, so yes, book-to-bill above one, and we see that OI will, after a good start, will be even better in the second half.
And can I just ask a follow-up on your 15 million additional R&D expenditure? Is that all in robotics, or what out of that is also for the other divisions?
It's not all robotics. Yeah.
Maybe let me. This is robotics is from the past. We don't disclose the detailed R&D per division. I think what's important to mention is that on this 4.0 and the initiative which is going towards platform and software, this is an initiative which is across KUKA. So I think it's not fair to say it's associated with robotic, because if you have a 4.0, an app for logistics automation, it could be in Swisslog, but could also be in systems. So what we have clearly dedicated R&D in the divisions, where robotic does have the heavy weight in this, but we will have more and more R&D on a platform, on a group level, because the digitalization of production is going across divisions, and therefore that is one change where, in the past we had 80%, 60 million in robotics and 20% in the others. That will change to a more, across KUKA R&D.
Thank you.
Our next question is from James Fetzer from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you, and good day all. Three questions from my side. If you look at the robotics margin, I believe you have sort of a midterm, longer-term target of 14%. Could you really talk us through how you're going to get there, and at what stage the general industry will start to actually support the margin? Second question then is just on Swisslog. You highlighted how you made progress in the second half. What you're guiding for is actually moving backwards. So you said you're going to reinvest some of the savings into product development. But is the 3% number you give, is that a very conservative one? And then finally, just talking about your new Chinese shareholder, could you talk a bit about what opportunities you have to work together to improve your position in China? Thank you.
Okay, then I will start with the robotics margin in 2020. Yeah, we mentioned that we are heading for 14%, and we really believe firmly in that, starting from an 11 this year. What are the main effects? I think there are in the end two, and that is new products, to launch new innovative products where we can get an extra margin for. So innovation is key, and that exactly comes back to the R&D. question and answer we had a minute ago. And the second is scale effects. If we are selling in 2020, then nearly 50,000 robots, then the scale effects bring the margin up.
Yeah. Thanks, Peter. Robotics coming to Syslog. You know, clearly only on paper, we don't increase the margin in 2016, but what's important, we bought Syslog in 2014. We got the squeeze out, so we had 100% control and could really change things much more, much faster in third quarter of 2015, so last year. And now I think it's on us to invest more in products. Relevant products, for example, you know, we know all today fixed robots or robots had been behind the fence, robots. We kept them out of the how called out of the fence. So we let them run robots. So we work closer with people, with humans. Now the next is really get the robots more mobile. So we have mobile platform which is called AGVs, automatic guided vehicles, which will come from Syslog. So we have to invest in new products where we believe to automate logistics and production. Therefore, we are going to reinvest the some of the margins we make in Syslog back into R&D, and therefore I think it was our decision to invest more in Syslog compared to last year. I think on the R&D level, we more than doubled the R&D spending in Syslog, but which is important to really grow and to getting to the above 5% for the future. And therefore, yes, we decided to invest more in 16 to have growth and higher margin in the future. On China, Midea, we have three shareholders. You know, we have, again, we have the Voigt family, the Voigt company with above 25% shareholding, so clearly a blocking minority. We do have Swoctem, which belongs to Friedhelm Loh Group. They do the cabinets called Rittal. And we have since February Midea with 10%, and they had their first 5% in November and now increased to 10%. Three different shareholders. We are very happy to have this attention at the stock market, and we have three shareholders. And with Midea, and we starting discussions. We clearly had discussion of first talks when they had 5%, and we have huge opportunity in China because they are a white goods company, so they are producing lots of white goods for the whole world, including customers in Germany and in US. And we see big potential to automate their own plants. So there is huge potential, number one. And then they have lots of logistics capacity and logistics storage areas. They have more than 100 logistics centers in the China, or we can also work together with Swisslog. This project has started, which is very good, and we hope to do more business with them in the future, and also they might help us with some customers in China to grow Kuka, which we have a plan today from something like 420, 430 million euro in China to our plan to go above 1 billion in 2020. So they might help us, but first is really automating their own plans.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Sebastian Hubert from Societe Generale. Please go ahead. Your line is now open. My apologies. We'll actually take the next call from our question from Lucy Carrier from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. This is Lucy from Morgan Stanley. A few questions left from my side. The first one was actually on the working capital as percentage of sales. It looks to me that it has reduced quite significantly over the last few years. And I was just wondering how much of that is structural and can be sustained, because obviously that's been quite a strong help on your cash flow generation. So that was question number one. The second one is on the system business and somehow related to a previous question on backlog. Normally this business historically had been quite cyclical because a lot of it goes into the auto industry. So we've seen a lot of investment between 2011 and 2013 in Europe, then a lot of investment in North America. What is a bit more long-term, what are your prospects there? Because it seems that we've seen already a huge amount of investment in these two geographies. So that's question number two. And then the last one is just more maintenance-related. It seems the tax rate was particularly low, actually, in the fourth quarter, and as a result, was relatively low for 2015 versus what we've seen in the previous year. So what has happened there, and which tax rate should we be thinking of going forward? Thank you.
Okay, then I will start with working capital. Yeah, that's really an important topic for us. We are trying to get better and better there every year and increase our working capital goal for the top management linking it to the bonus scheme. That is what I already mentioned before. So it is really important to us. We were managing that it goes down over the full year and it's cyclical, you are totally right. Fourth quarter, we made huge progress in the working capital management. It was a top topic. We had every day a call at the end regarding working capital and cash flow management, and that you see in the free cash flow we got in Q4. It was really a big amount. And we see a little the other side of the effect in quarter one. So it's cyclical, you are totally right, top important for us. But now coming to 2016, I think we have to expect that it will go up because the projects we have on the system side in the U.S., we have mainly, we expect an order intake in the U.S., but more than in Europe, we mentioned already earlier, and that are generally projects without prepayments or with prepayments at the end of the project cycle, which is a year or more. So we have to pre-finance those projects for the GMs, Chryslers, and Ford this year, which will lead to a higher working capital for this year. That was, by the way, one of the reasons why we issued the promissory note in autumn, because we saw already that we have to pre-finance such projects this year. So increasing working capital, unfortunately, this year. Tax rate, yeah, I do the tax rate question too. Then tax rate was going down to a little more than 31% in 2015. The main reason was that the sale of HLS Group was tax-free. That was a big positive effect. We cannot expect that anymore this year, and therefore I would assume something like 35-36% as a tax rate for 2016.
Lucy, your question on cyclicality. I think what we want to achieve over the last year is to be in automotive number one, but for the whole business to get less cyclical. What we have done is, on the one hand, we reduce the relative number of business in automotive, so we are 50% automotive, 50% non-automotive. And the second point is really we got also much more diversified regional-wise, which means for me, you know, for automotive overall, we expect some kind of growth up to 5%. We see Europe much more challenging than the rest of the world. So I think if you think about in Europe, we can grow only over innovation, which is important. We have to invest to get to the next, you know, whatever, flexible body shops and all the innovations we talk with our customers, which is an automotive, just on the system side, just an example, a system is 1.4 billion, and therefore we have 1 billion automotive, maybe out of the automotive body structure is one area is 800 million, so we have 250 in Europe, we have 600 in 600 in US, and we have 100 in China, so it's adding up more to 1 billion. So Europe is weak to flat, US is positive for 16 and 17. In China, I think we see much more growth coming from the local OEMs. So you see that cyclicality, we try to balance cyclicality regionally and also by having much more diversified portfolio for whole KUKA.
Thank you very much, Kai. If I can just have a follow-up on the working capital to Peter. So in terms of a working capital as percentage of sales, I mean, which range are you thinking of for 2016?
I think it could go up 10 to 15% this year, mainly due to projects, systems, America, North and South.
Thanks very much. Thanks, guys.
Be negatively on the cash flow side.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question is from Sebastian Hubert from Société Générale. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. Second try to get through. One question left on my side, that is with regards to China. You flagged and you have started to increase capacities there after you have been fully running at 5,000 last year. Could you give us an idea what's the next step you are going to approach in China with your local capacity nameplate-wise, and also how we should model then the utilization rates in that business? Thank you.
Thanks for the question. So we were opening our plant a little bit more than 2 years ago. We have a capacity of up to 8,000 to 10,000 robots on a two-shift run. Since we want to grow in China massively in the next years, we expect that we have full capacity on this current plant in 2 years latest. We want to grow faster, but in 2 years latest, we could shift capacity to Germany. But I think the idea is that we really want to do more capacity increase in China. Same time as we were increasing capacity in China, we also the shift towards GI and the shift towards smaller robots. You remember that we were introducing Agilus in 2012 as our own 6-kilo robots, and we are also going this way much more forward. So we will this year in Hannover show further new products. Further new products on lower payloads, and lower payloads in the end meets for Asian customers 3C markets, which we are going to penetrate much more as we have done in the past, because this segment hasn't been a segment of KUKA, but will be one in the future. So if we have our, how called, normal growth in this existing areas, this will be the bigger robots, like this 20, 30, and the Quantec areas. And if we have bigger capacity in 3C, we will have a look for expansion of capacity, the two ways which we are looking at. One could be close to our existing plant today. Second could be we do it much closer to the customers in the south of China. And this is exactly what we are exploring. We are going to think about the next level of capacity in China in 2 years, where the majority of small robots will be built for the Chinese market. I think on the CapEx, you should assume something like in the high single digit, low double digit, as we have done also for the first capacity when we were doing it around 10 to 12 million we had in the time when we looked at China for the first step. And I think in modeling something, it should be in a similar way, which should come in 17/18.
Okay, thank you very much.
Our next question is from Winfried Becker from BHF Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much. Good afternoon to all of you. Also, more general question on China. Government most recently have finalized a new 5-year plan, and I wonder if you could comment a little bit. As far as I know, automation still is in a particular focus of the government. My question is, have you identified more in detail some more specific items from the framework which could mid and long term stimulate your business in China? Thank you.
You know, I think this is a very good question. Thank you. China is the biggest robotic market today and also one of the growth markets for the future. If you look back on the page where I've shown China and North America, the government again were having lots of effort in automation and in robotics. If you just look back the last 5 years, we were growing from 57 million to 425 million. So close to 8 times the sales we had 5 years ago. This shows clearly the trend in automation in China is a very strong trend, and our goal is to get to, in the next 3 to 5 years, to 1 billion, which again confirms this trend. So I think that the Chinese government is totally right, and we will benefit from this automation trend, and we also benefit from further automation because China, the higher wages, the wage increase, the customer demands for quality, and the industrial strategy to become, to have more product in China will drive robotic-based automation. Therefore, you know, I think I will see that we have more business in China in the future, and we will benefit from this initiative or from the strategy from government.
Okay. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a further reminder, to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We take our next question from Graham Phillips from Jefferies. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, good afternoon. Two questions, please. First, just on the R&D point in robotics, can you give us a bit of a feel for the capitalization? You said there was a 19 million R&D capitalization. How much that was in robots, and to what extent there is a margin benefit, i.e. has amortization caught up yet or will do in future years at some point, but there could be a margin benefit of about 1 percentage point from that. And if you're guidance into 2016 includes any benefit from capitalization of R&D more than offsetting the amortization. And the second point was on competition. So you move into more general industry and smaller robots. Can you give us a feel of whether there's different competitors you're meeting there? You made the point that general industry has a higher margin, but is that at the gross level rather than the EBIT margin level where perhaps the higher R&D costs some competition are offsetting that.
Okay. Yeah, then first regarding R&D, it's simple. We cannot capitalize research expenditures, so if we do more research, then it is less capitalization, and if we do more development, then we have the chance to do more capitalization of our R&D spend. And that is depending on the projects we are currently working on. In robotics generally, or where did the higher capitalization in 2015 came from? That was Swisslog. From the Swisslog part, I mentioned it at the beginning that we had there a higher capitalization. In robotics, it is something around 10%. What we in the last years capitalized. But that depends, like I said, on the relation between R and D and what the guys are working on mainly. And if we are working successfully and on such projects, then the margin will go up because we will sell nice innovative products in the future, and that is helpful to the margin.
Yes, and I think it's not.
So in robotics at the moment, there's no net benefit from capitalizing even development costs above amortization levels?
I don't think so. I think it's the other way around.
Yeah. Competition. So we are going to smaller robots, which is part of our GI strategy for the last 5 years. And we have launched the Agilus in 2012. Just to have a look at this, we launched it in May 2012 at Automatica. Last year we were selling over 3,000 Agilus, I think, which is a big success over the last year. So in 3 years we getting close to our 50% market share, and we are going to go in even smaller robots, which we will show you in Hannover Fair. All the robots are, you know, we have clearly our return on investment, and they are accretive on the margin side, which is very important. So if we launch a product, we want to be accretive to the full business plan. We want to grow profitable. And therefore, you also should have in mind that our long-term goal for robotics is above 12 towards 14% EBIT. And this robot and the GI market is really accretive to our whole financial profile. And therefore, we're going here in this broader market.
Perhaps if I could ask one follow-up on that. I mean, when you look at the margin from service, which is obviously clearly higher than the robots, the original equipment. Is the mix, because in automotive you get less service, you tend to get less service because it's done by the auto manufacturer, whereas you're more likely to capture the service in general industry and smaller robots because they're the ones that you'll be able to maintain yourselves?
I think it's not the equation you should look at. I think we have different drivers. I think Peter was mentioning that in robotics you have three topics which you also have to look into. One is clearly the amount of business, the mix, auto, GI, and service. That's one equation. Then scale is very important. So we were growing over last year, and the further growth will also help on the margin side, and then innovation. And that we will further spend in R&D because we want to grow in the future. And then if you look at service, which is 20% of the business in robotics, you know, I think the whole change in the software and how we work on software, how we, you know, you have at least one mobile device, an iPad and an iPhone, maybe you have two iPhones, and you're going to download software by app, and this is also going to happen on the robotic, on the industrial side, on the B2B side, and there will be a change in service. So also service will be much more, if service people are on the ground, they are much more easy to download new software. There'll be new way of service, how they getting with data classes can be in the environment of the customer. And in general, we see that on GI, you have many more different customers, and therefore you know, have a little bit more service. But, you know, I think there's not a general like automotive is doing less service than GI. It's more like the depending on the division which you are in. If you go in 3C, I think 3C will be a little bit, you know, will be numbers like automotive, maybe even higher. And if you have one customer like don't want a name, but just if you take a Foxconn, someone else, they will have in the end, they will have 50,000 robots. And you have to service the whole plant. I think that's something which is, we are in the middle of a change. And we believe that the benefit from software development and the benefit from this new market will be accretive to our margin.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question is from Peter Hockeneicher from Baader Bank. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. One additional question regarding robotics. Can you please comment on your progress with regard to the LBR EVA? Are you here making progress in terms of sales, and what are your expectations for the current year? With regard to automotive, you mentioned VW and the risk. Do you already experience here some price pressure, some weaker margins in terms of the new orders, and in particularly here for the systems business, do you see in Europe here some negative impact from the more, yeah, let's say, difficult situation? And what are your prospects for systems in Europe for the upcoming year? So in this year, I think you're benefiting from Daimler, from good business. What are your expectations here for 2017? Do we have to expect here a further downturn? And last question regarding software. You mentioned that you expect for 2018 up to 1 percentage point improvement in the margin. Do we already see here some positive impact in 2017?
Let me start with the LiPad robot, because I think the LiPad robot is a really one breakthrough innovation which KUKA brought into the market, where we really put in innovation. The LiPad robot was the first robot which can work with man and machine, and I think it's the breakthrough getting the robot behind the fence out working with people. We have sold last year more than 250 robots, only of lightweight, and this year clearly we are going to increase it further, and we are seeing that there's a big question, and we see that the MRK, the man-machine interaction, sometimes we see lines where you have some LBRs, but where you also sell other robots, which then are in the full line where you have some areas with close cooperation, and some where you have it behind the fence. This is overall really a big topic, which also for the future will be one of the drivers, safe cooperation between man and machine. KUKA is a leader in safe cooperation between man and machine, and I will see in the future that we have much more on the healthcare side, in hospitals, in the GI side, where robot will work without a fence, and there the man-machine cooperation is one of the driving topics for the future, and we are the leaders and we are the pioneers in this area. Coming to automotive, Don't talk about our partners. Volkswagen is one of our great customers. We have business of 250 to 300 million per year. We're working closely with Volkswagen on man-machine interaction. We don't have any change to our contracts. We are talking with our partners on this, and we don't see negative impact so far in our numbers. Clearly, Europe is more competitive, more challenging than the U.S. because of the competitive environment. In U.S., you have 2 to 3 integrators. In Europe, you have 7 to 8 integrators. For 2017, you know, we talk about 16 today, but I'm happy to also look beyond the year. We see for U.S. in 16 and 17 good business. And we also see that in Europe, we have to grow over innovation. Also in Europe, we have new plans coming, but there is a different scheme and different rationale for Europe than the U.S. We will have much more flexible lines in Europe. We're working with our customers on the new way of working together on man-machine, on flexible body shops, and therefore, you know, I see that 16 is in Europe stable, and we're working that 17 will be even better. Maybe we see again growth in 17. I don't have any reason to talk about a downturn in 2017. On the 2018, I think it's something where Peter mentioned that we have a in-system PLM. So we're working on our project, we're working on our IT backbone and how we're working on the process. And Peter mentioned that we have the potential of 1% EBIT upside on the system side through our PM, through our investment in IT. And that's more the IT ERP infrastructure, which is, you know, in parallel, we have this clearly IT 4.0 for the whole group, which also margin potential, but which we don't disclose today.
And for 2017, already some positive impact here?
There will be positive impact, but we cannot specify. You know, we have a long-term goal of 1% in systems. I think that is something where we have a way toward this, but I think you should, with the 1% 2018, we feel comfortable.
Thank you.
Our next question is from Jawahar Hingorani from Bloomberg Intelligence. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Just wanted to get an idea. You've talked about R&D investment and all the other process improvements and so on, but can you just kind of overall summarize it in the context of capital allocation? Do you see any further acquisitions? And if so, can you give us an idea of, you know, kind of what area or what sort of gaps that might be filling? And then your dividends increased, obviously, 25%. Can you give us an idea of how that might progress in the future?
I can start with capital allocation in general, and then, too, can say some words on strategy in general. Capital allocation is important for us, and looking into that, we don't look at the EBIT margin. We look at the return on capital employed, because here we have to make decisions how we invest and where we invest. And if we look into that, we have a table in our annual report where you can see that the return on capital employed in the systems division is something above 80%. It's higher than in robotics for the second year in a row. That means if you don't compare the EBIT to the turnover, but to the capital working in this segment, then I think it's worthwhile to invest also into the integration piece and into making stronger our USP there. But with such ROIs of more than 50% in robotics and systems, then it's easy to make investment decisions to increase R&D. And invest into products there and into innovation. If we now look into Swisslog, there it's a little more challenging because we, via the PPA, have high market values in our books, but there also, as long as the royalty is higher than our weighted average cost of capital, we make decisions to allocate the capital there. That is how we internally invest into the R&D pipeline of our businesses and into the ideas the guys internally bring up. And then, in addition to that, we are always obliged to look at M&A. And now I would pass the ball to Till.
Thanks, Peter. You know, at the end of the year, we have net liquidity of 200 million, which means, you know, given that we also, Peter has done a fantastic job on securing the financing of 250 million whatever loan, so we have, you know, I think we have a good firepower if there's any opportunity to look at assets. And given also that we have a nice equity ratio of 31, and if it's convertible goes through of more than 30 or close to 33%, so I think we have a good fundament, and we have also firepower to look at investment. Where do we look at? Here we have lots of things on the table which we can. One is technology. So clearly it's guarding to software. How can we improve the speed into a 4.0 Internet of Things? You know, we have done it on our own, so we have established a team of more than 10 people in Austin, Texas. But if there's something where we can add and gain speed in 4.0, we look at smaller software players. Clear GI, something where GI, looking at markets, you know, if you want to grow, look at Asia and US where we see lots of growth potential, but that's something where, you know, we don't have anything in concrete or anything which we could present, otherwise we would have done this. So we are screening things. It should be, if we look in something technology, / software or regions where we would like to grow the company. I think that is and clearly what shows we have the firepower we could look at, and we want to clearly definitely we want to grow in the future, and if there's nice assets we definitely will look at it.
Okay, thank you. Just to clarify then, so on the GI side, when you're talking about markets, it's Asia and North America or the US that are areas that you would continue to consolidate and grow in.
Yeah, but markets, but also just see, for example, just look at automotive, we are number one. So in automotive would be maybe technology, find something. In aerospace, we are leader in US, we are good in China. If we can grow, yes, we grow. In whatever other consumer, if we can find someone who is giving, you know, we look really at the market, can we penetrate the market much better? We were buying Rise in the past, by Rise, German company, which we bought, you know, into a challenging situation. They were challenging, so we had to buy them, helping us into welding applications to really getting to closer to the end customers. So we have to decide then by markets. So either we go into regions, markets, or into software and in technology.
Okay, thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a further reminder to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from Jasko Terzic from Metzler. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes. One question left from my side regarding Swisslog. My first part of the question is, did the situation you found at Swisslog is different now than what you have expected during your negotiations about buying Swisslog? Second, to get a feel about your efforts there, as Swisslog has obviously underinvested in the past, do you expect a quick recovery regarding the development of new projects, or should we expect more or less a long-term higher capex ratio at Swisslog? And finally, on Swisslog and M&A, is it appealing to you to also strengthening logistics side and acquiring in that area here? And if so, what kind of technology would be interesting?
Let's start with Swisslog. So clearly, if you're looking into the company as due diligence, you get a certain impression, and I think this impression has been confirmed. Clearly, if you go deeper, you find some things which are better, some things which are worse. So I think it's just a normal process in getting to know the company much more in detail. I think what is really good is that Kuka is a company based on innovation products and on people, and as Swisslog is the same. So the innovation technology DNA is similar to what we see in Kuka. You rightly mentioned that Swisslog did not invest as heavily in products as we have done over the last year. Therefore, we are going to increase the level of investment into R&D over the next years, which means not 1 year, which means next 3 to 5 years, and which is the long-term trend. But the investment has to pay off in better margin, and therefore, clearly, our margin goal for Swisslog is to be at least 5, to go either over 5% into the next years. It's nothing for 1 or 2 years. So, and as Peter mentioned, you know, the squeeze-out happened in July, August 2015. So, we just 6 months, we really don't have any arm's length principle where we can really also manage through the company. So, and now it's on us to turn it. And we have done nice progress. If we had been in the fair 2 weeks ago in Logimat in Stuttgart, where we have shown products for Swisslog and KUKA working together hand in hand with logistics solution and then robotic solution. And I think there will see much more. Yeah, but it's something for 2 to 3 years. We want to achieve the 5% and more. And also the combination to go to customers with logistics and manipulation from robotics and applications. So there's a huge opportunity, and we are on this way. And I think clearly the combination of automation of production and the automation of logistics is a big trend. And I think the timing of Swisslog has been perfect because these worlds are moving closer together, and the 4.0 initiative is coming on top. So we can, you know, we're talking about ecosystems, and the ecosystem is production and logistics, and KUKA can deliver solution out of one hand, and then in the future we can optimize this ecosystem with our software and IT system. Therefore, you know, this is a road which we started 2 years ago, which is a road which takes 3 to 5 years. M&A logistics, oh, sorry, yeah. This Peter was telling me. M&A, you know, when we talk about M&A, there are two things. One is clearly add-on acquisitions in the range of 10 to 20 million, which we are doing continuously. We are screening companies which might help us in one region, which might help us with little technology, but they are helping, but they are not decisive. When you asked me in the last question from Bloomberg, we're talking about decisive investment where you really have a big change, a big step. We are doing small investments. We have done one last year with the acquisition of Forte, a small acquisition in the US, and we are screening clearly opportunities on the Swisslog side, logistics side, on ongoing basis. And, you know, that's something which is kind of on the divisional level that we are on shaping our footprint in the US, shaping our footprint in Asia, and also clearly Europe. That's ongoing business, but it's more like in the range of, up to 20 million.
Thank you.
And as far as a reminder, please press *1 to ask a question. Just to confirm, there are no further questions in the queue at this time, so I'll turn the call back to you for any additional remarks. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, operator. Yeah, and thank you for attention. And if you have further questions, please contact us. And one reminder again, we will do our Capital Market Day at Hannover Fair, and you're very well invited. Thank you and have a great afternoon.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, just to confirm that this now concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.